All right, Matthew chapter 24. All right. Jesus takes time to explain about the coming tribulation in chapter 24. He explains in more detail than all the prophets put together in throughout the Old Testament. He actually goes through very specific prophecies. And really, what he's doing is he's putting his ministry on the line. If what he says does not come true, then he's a false prophet. He focuses more on the events of the tribulation instead of the battle of Armageddon. When you read Joel, it's about Armageddon. When you read Micah, Armageddon. Zechariah, Armageddon. All of the minor prophets, Isaiah, a major portion of its references to the day of the Lord are always to Armageddon. But Jesus deals with the tribulation. As he discusses all the future events, he warns his followers to be very careful not to be deceived or confused or defeated by everything that was coming upon the world. So first of all, Jesus warns of coming destruction, chapter 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, if that doesn't get your attention, nothing would. Because it'd be like you walking through a brand new shopping mall, and you're saying, "Boy, look at that store, look at that shop, wow, look at all that's here." And somebody's saying, "It's all going to be thrown down. There's not going to be one stone left upon another." It would shake you. Now, to them, the temple was a sign of stability, as you're supposed to fill in. It was a sign of stability. It had been destroyed or desecrated twice so far. First by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 and rebuilt by Ezra. The second temple suffered desecration by a guy named Antiochus Epiphanes in 167 BC. But it was rededicated under Judas Maccabeus in 164. Over a century later, in 20 BC, the building was renovated by Herod the Great and became known as Herod's Temple. When Jesus started his ministry, it had been around and was constantly being enhanced for 46 years. So if you read, you'll read in John chapter 20, John chapter 2, where it'll say, for 46 years this temple was built. Now it gives you the impression it took 46 years to build. No, the idea was they were constantly primping it. They were constantly doing it up better. It had been 46 years since it had been rededicated by Herod and renovated. So they're saying, it's been 46 years and you're just going to tear it all down in 1 day and rebuild it 3 days later? So that's what they were referring to. It does later get destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Remember that date. It was big and it seemed so protected. It was like it would never fall. So they showed it off to Jesus, who seemed to be not impressed with its stones or its gold, and he warns that everything, including the temple, was going to be ruined and brought low. This definitely got their attention, and the destruction of Jerusalem occurred exactly as Jesus predicted in 70 AD. Now, Jesus warns of false Christs and false hopes in verse 3 to 10. He goes on and he says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Now Jesus leads a small flock out to the Mount of Olives and sits down and teaches them. They had asked three questions. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming back? And what is the signal that the end of the world is here? These three issues are all interrelated and answered by Jesus next. Jesus first warns that it will be easy to be fooled by all the false fears and false hopes that were coming. Three, summary of his signs of coming. Worldwide problems on an unimaginable scale. I wrote it down as false fears. You better fear God. If an earthquake hit Ireland, do you think people would freak out? I mean, you saw there in New Zealand. Those people, it's been 80 years since they've had any kind of fearful tremor. They have little bitty tremors. Every country has little bitty tremors. Even Ireland has 3.0 earthquakes every couple of weeks. You don't even feel it. But there's constantly a slight, just, 100 miles underneath this, there's constant movement. But that was a 7.2 earthquake. That is unbelievable. So you see people, they freaked out. They're going to have psychological counseling for the next 10 years for some of those people who dealt with, they watched somebody completely crushed right next to them. Ireland would freak out, wouldn't they? Christians, Jesus says, don't have a false fear. Don't let world events strike fear in your heart. B, there will be an explosion of false saviors and religions. Those are false hopes. And there will be a falling away by his own followers. Those are false believers. False fears, false hopes, false believers. Now, false messiahs are coming. Matter of fact, they're already here. I call them false hopes. Worldwide problems will drive people to look for saviors, won't they? They look for him. He was a black man over in America. He turned out not to be quite so successful. B, they will reject the only savior. Isaiah 45:22. That's a very famous verse. Who knows it? Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. And yet people will go, people will reject the only Savior, and they'll be looking for some man to save them. People who will use the name Christ and Messiah are going to be prolific. It is scary. There's a guy named Lord Maitreya. He's a real guy. Back in the late 70s, started coming out and promoting this New World Order. This world teacher does not intend to build a new religion, but rather to teach humanity the art of self-realization. Much like the serpent in the Garden of Eden, he intends to deceive millions by convincing them that they are gods themselves. When the serpent came to Eve, he didn't say, come and worship my God. He didn't say that. He said, you are gods. That's what he said. And that's what Maitreya has been promoting. Science is a modern false messiah today. I have books on my shelf on what I'm called... the Bible of scientific truth. They use the word Bible to get you to buy it so that you'll look at science and worship it. Science is offered as a false savior. Everybody thinks that science will figure out this problem and they'll figure out that problem. Doctors are referred to as saviors. Thank you for saving me. When all they did was they helped you, but Jesus is the savior. Those false religion and false messiahs will, as Jesus says, will deceive many. Worldwide disasters are coming. Those are false fears. These are all very real, but Jesus says, do not be worried about them. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Go back to Matthew chapter 10. All right, verse 26. Dan. Go to, verse 25.
It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. But I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and when ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul. Soul and body in hell.
Okay. Pretty serious. Don't worry about somebody killing you. Worry about God. Verse 29, keep going, because we'll look at world disasters and how it affects people.
Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows.
Amazing, amazing. So, don't worry about things happening to you or around you. So he starts to list. He says wars, world wars. It's only going to get worse and worse. First they had the League of Nations after World War I. That didn't work because we started World War II. Then they created the United Nations. Did you know there were more wars in the 20th century than of all time passed before that? And yet we had the United Nations. things are not getting better. They're going to get worse. He says wars. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. You will know about famines all over the world. Not just isolated famines, but worldwide famines. And really, since the 1970s, people have known that unless they genetically modify food, we are headed for a famine. What's funny is genetically modified foods will create a famine as well, because that's an imperfect science. So they're trying to fix a problem, and they'll create a bigger problem. And I think we will face, in the next 20 years, incredible famines of such scale that we cannot imagine. If the Lord tarries, our children are going to have problems that could not be dreamed about. The famines that will be. And we already have experienced the third D, pestilences. New diseases and uncontrollable diseases. Do you know what Rotimi's PhD he's working on? His PhD is on the controlling of the MSRA bug in the hospitals. He says nobody's working on it because they've all given up. So I'm going to write my PhD on how to control it. I went, fair dues to you. But it is an uncontrollable, they would actually, here in Ireland, they would have to actually raise the hospital to the ground and start over in order to get it under control. They cannot. That's what I hear. This is a superbug that is resilient to all forms of control and antibacterial. It is a bacteria that they can't stop from being able to multiply. Pestilences, huh? Yeah, I know. Earthquakes in diverse places, unexpected places. Nobody could have predicted the amount of attention that we give to earthquakes all over the world, and yet there it is in the Bible. We take it for granted. And these things, it says, in diverse places, which implies everywhere. Places, you know, if you say diverse, it means multiple. So I look forward, I don't look forward, but I look to the future, and I know that things are in queue, things are waiting, where you will have simultaneous earthquakes at different places. Right now, you'll get one over here, and then one over there. But I think when it says in diverse places, it implies at the same time. We're going to see this world begin to hiccup and roll like we thought it never would. Yes, sir?
I think it's just knowing about them, too. They didn't have the knowledge to categorize and know that there was an earthquake over there, but now we know. And
yes.
Not only do we know about them happening, but they're becoming more and more frequent.
Yes.
As time goes on.
I mean, here's a country in the back of beyond learning about an earthquake in South Africa. It would never have happened in their day. But it's telling about a time when you will know about it in diverse places. But I read and I go in diverse places, and I think it means to the point where we're going to see such disasters going to be happening simultaneously. Not just, oh, there are going to be bad earthquakes, but like, you know, we have hurricanes in America. You'll have a hurricane there. But all of a sudden, everybody's focusing on the typhoons in Australia. And then you'll hear about typhoons in Japan. I think it won't just be in diverse places, but in diverse places happening almost simultaneously. It's focusing our attention on world events, and Christians should not be afraid. That's the reoccurring scenario. Nothing is getting better and better. Mankind can never stop disasters. Thankfully, they can warn of them, but they do not stop them. 6, true believers need not be troubled. Verse 6 says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled. What is that? A suggestion? It's a command. Do not get freaked out. It would be the vernacular. All of this is all planned out anyway. It has to happen. These are the beginning of sorrows. Number 7. This is really one of the saddest parts of this. Wars, famines, pestilences. I can accept that, Brother Dan. I know that there are people who would love to attack. And I expect the Mexican cartels to kill. I don't expect believers to go this way. He says right there, I don't know. Verse 9, he says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be what? Who gets offended? The unsaved? No, believers, or what you thought were believers. And they, the offended believers, shall betray one another and shall end up what? So here's the saddest part of all of this prediction, is that Christians will end up the worst enemies of other believers. persecuted believers, and they'll be hated by, and it'll be the spirit of the Antichrist moving, afflicting Christians, torturing them, killing them, hating them. And really, when he's talking about the tribulation, there'll be no Christian nations at that time. They'll be persecuted just because they love and obey Jesus Christ. Hitler was just a shadow of the real Holocaust coming. Offended believers, verse 10 talks about many will betray one another, just like Judas did Jesus. Many believers will end up hating each other, all because of the world problems affecting the believers. Hey, you were just talking about it, Lisa, there on the job. Just the way things are going with the economy and with the pressure on your business, talking about the Aviva Insurance, it affects the people in the business. They probably, they're not as pleasant to work with, are they?
They're worried.
Hmm?
They're worried and stressed.
They're worried and stressed out. And so, you know, Christians, when Christians start having problems, we are a very carnal group, our church included. Because when things don't go well, we turn against each other. It just, if we all lost our jobs, we wouldn't come on Sunday morning. Most people stay home depressed. It's just the way things are. And it's wrong. And that's, Jesus predicted that in the end day, believers would end up, because of all the world problems, they will end up being offended by one another. Does that happen? Do you offend people, Barry?
Yeah.
And you offend Christians, even. We offend each other, and we end up hating one another because of wars and famines and pestilences. And it's a shame. Jesus said, don't let it affect your relationship with one another. This is one of the bigger things that has happened today in Christianity. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. Eric, we're going to stop at this. I'm going to quit. We are in Nigeria, man. The jungle. I know, we'll quit. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3.
No man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed as some perdition.
Mm. So, look at the progress of events. The day of the Lord will come, but there will first come a falling away before the Son of Man is revealed. So as we get closer to the rapture and to the approach of the Antichrist, there will come a time where Christians fall away. They will not endure sound doctrine. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll get easily offended, and they'll quit. So, all right. We'll in 2 weeks, we'll pick up in C, and we'll look at the false prophets, and there are plenty of them.
You have to stop and look.
I know, but every time I get started again,
very stressful, isn't it? Really are.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and quit. Let's stand. We're not getting anything out of it anyway, so...